Welcome to this first episode of the St. Mary's Lent podcast series. If you don't already know me, I'm Alison Ingram, Ordinand at St. Mary's. Throughout the next four episodes of this podcast, we will explore different passages in Romans, each of which sits alongside Bible passages we will hear about in our Sunday morning services at St. Mary's. You can find our Sunday services online at 9 o'clock or in person at St. Mary's Hanwell at 10:30. More information is available on our website. Each podcast episode will follow the same format, with a short introduction, a reading from Romans, a time of discussion with other people from St. Mary's, followed by a short reflection and a prayer. Our hope is that these podcasts will provide you with time and space to reflect on your own relationship with God in this season of Lent. In this first session, we're going to consider the great gift that Jesus has given us and how we respond to that. Firstly, we turn to our Bible passage, which is Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 19. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If, because of one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience many will be made righteous. We're now going to move into the part of our session when we spend time talking about the passage that we've just heard, reflecting on what we've taken from it, and also thinking about how we might apply that in our everyday lives. So you're really welcome to our cozy conversation. There are a few of us sitting around a table drinking coffee. We're trying to eat fruit to be healthy, but we've also got some biscuits, so don't worry, there is sugar available. I'd love to introduce everyone in the group so you can recognise their voices and you know who's speaking at different times. So we'll start with Andrew.
Hello, folks. This is Andrew. I'm the rector of St. Mary's Hanwell. And yeah, looking forward to recording these podcasts.
And Adam, do you want to say hello and a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, hi, I'm Adam. I live and work in the Borough of Ealing and a regular at St. Mary's.
Thank you. And Kate, a little bit about you.
Yeah. Sure, I'm Kate. I'm the other half of Adam and Kate, also a teacher in the local Borough of Ealing.
And I'm Alison. I'm Ordinand at St. Mary's and really, really pleased to be having this time together with these fantastic guys in the room and also hoping that you will be able to engage with it wherever you are as well. So there's loads in this passage that we've just read and we're going to focus our discussion on the gift that Jesus has given us and how we respond to that, particularly in this period of Lent. So we're going to be thinking about what that means for each of us in this season. We're going to start with a bit of an icebreaker question. What's the best free gift you've ever received? And you might want to think about that for yourselves as you listen to what we say. So I'm going to turn to Andrew first because he came up with this question. So no doubt has a fantastic answer that he can share.
Oh, best free gift. Well, this is like having to go back in time a good long way, because the best free gift I got was when I went to university. It was at the dawn of modern technology, and banks, in order to get you to sign up for student loans, were giving away mobile phones.
What?
Which was kind of, and it was a time where mobiles were like outrageously expensive, yeah, and still quite brick-like. I mean, I got a phone that only wrote in capital letters. But yeah, the thought of a free phone for signing my life away to whichever bank it was, to a student bank account. I was one of many that joined the technological world at that point.
That is a great gift. I mean, do you still have that phone? Because I would like to actually see it.
Oh, gosh. It should be in a museum somewhere. I think it was a Sagem.
Amazing. Oh, Kate, what about you?
I was just thinking about some of those gifts you used to get on the front of magazines.
Oh, yeah.
And every time you bought a magazine, you had these amazing free gifts, which they don't have anymore. And the one I absolutely loved was that I had this tote bag that I literally got rid of just before we got married, actually. And I got it when I was about 13, and it was just the most amazing, practical, functional bag. So, yeah, that was probably my best free gift for longevity.
And that sounds like a well-used gift.
Absolutely,
as well, right?
Yeah.
Which is what you need. Right? Utility chic.
Yeah.
Very good. Adam, what about you?
Listen, I've always been really envious of people who work in the commercial world because they seem to get lots of perks all the time.
Yeah.
And being a teacher, there's no such thing as a free lunch, I'm afraid. So I'm racking my brains. I can't really think of anything that I've had for free. You know, I've had to earn it usually.
That's very worthy of you.
Adam is sounding very hard done by. So I think that's a hint. If you see him, you might want to give him a free gift.
Yeah.
So that he has an answer to this question next time it comes up.
Dear listeners, send it in via St. Mary's Church and we'll pass it along.
I think for me, one of the best free gifts I've had is, this is going back before the pandemic, stations used to be so busy in the mornings and there were always people giving free things away. One of the best ones I ever got, you know, the little travel size toothpaste?
They're
so handy, yeah, whenever you're going away somewhere. So I picked up about 6 or 7 of those. It was very, very useful for a long time. So yeah, that's definitely mine. Okay, so, and we are going to start thinking about the gift that Jesus has given us. And the first question we're going to consider is just reflecting on the practicalities of how we each live our lives day to day. How might we be different from other people who don't have a Christian faith? So what difference does that gift actually make in the day-to-dayness of how we live? So Kate, could I come to you first?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's just about the decision-making process, mm-hmm, and about how before I came to faith, I didn't realise how much of that would have been informed by God and how, you know, things I thought were my decisions were actually his. Mm. So, yeah, in a really kind of practical sense, it's almost taken the pressure off some of those big decisions in life because, you know, God won't let you go wrong.
Yeah.
So you can make what you think is the right or wrong decision, but ultimately, if it's not his will, it won't come your way anyway. So, yeah, I think from my point of view, it's just been about decision making in everything we do.
Yeah, that's so true, isn't it? Because we can worry and worry and worry about something.
Yeah.
But actually, if you know that you can give that to God, mm-hmm, and he's going to be with you in it, that takes a lot of the pressure off you.
Yeah.
So, okay. Adam, what about you?
I was thinking about Sundays and Sabbath, and just how Sundays feel very different now that I go to church. And, you know, it seems the kind of the distinction being made in the passage about life and about death sort of connects with that whole idea of the Sabbath. Because to be honest, I used to quite dislike Sundays. I used to feel that, you know, I was either too bored or dreading going back to work or, you know, just very listless, trying to find something to do. Whereas Sunday's the best day of the week for me now.
Oh,
and you know, I don't want it to end. And, you know, I feel that it's such a special day. And, you know, I think that that is obviously something that is part of the Christian life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like that's really become part of your weekly rhythm. That wouldn't have been there before, mm-hmm, and it's helped you connect with God as well. fact you've got that time set aside just to focus on him. Okay. Andrew, what about you? I guess it's slightly different given your role.
Yeah, and yet not. I mean, I kind of resonate with both of what Adam and Kate have just shared, really. And I think, I guess reading this passage, it reminds me actually, I suppose, the real difference that faith makes to me and Jesus makes me every day is that it means that my life is constantly underpinned by hope. Mm. And I love that contrast in the passage with, you know, he's talking about Adam and Eve and the fall and contrasting the consequences of that with the consequences of Jesus's free gift. And just, I suppose, just resonating with what happens after the fall of going, you know, we do all make mistakes and we get stuff wrong. But actually, in Jesus, there's always a hope that things can be different. Mm. And a hope that every situation can be different. And I suppose for me, that the most beautiful part, particularly in my role as a church leader, is seeing that free gift of Christ in other people's lives. And, and just watching Jesus do the stuff that only Jesus can do. That, you know, that's the thing that gets me out of bed and gets me to church on a Sunday morning is seeing what happens when Jesus comes alongside people and they start getting that free gift for themselves.
Yeah, I agree with everything that you've all shared. I think for me, one of the things that really encourages me is whatever happens and whenever I make mistakes, which is a lot, Jesus is always there, and kind of turn to him and, you know, ask for that forgiveness, and you know that it's there. It's that confidence of knowing that he is always going to have his arm around you. And I think that does make quite a difference day to day. It's just having that reassurance to know that he's alongside you and you're not in things on your own. And that makes a huge difference to everything that I do in terms of practicalities when you're like in a difficult meeting or you're having a challenging conversation with someone. Knowing that he's there is so, so important.
Yeah. Just picking up on what you're saying, Alison, and forgive me if I'm preempting a later question, but I wonder if it's just worth thinking through, because obviously this passage really acknowledges what you were saying there, that actually we all make mistakes, that sin is a very real present part of our lives. And yet we live in a culture and society where it's become very relativized and very sort of downplayed. And you sort of, you know, if we were to say to any of our kind of non-Christian friends, oh gosh, you know, how do you feel about the sin in your life? I mean, they'd look at us to say, like, what planet have you come from? But, it's just sort of really struck with that it's just not a popular concept. And yet there's a real truth that whether you take the Genesis narratives literally or not, we are all kind of broken. Mm. And I love that bit in Isaiah. It says, you know, we all fall short of the glory of God. We all sin. And actually, like in Lent, acknowledging that as the starting point of needing this free gift from Jesus. Because actually, perhaps we can sometimes think, gosh, what on earth is this gift about? Why do I need saving from anything?
Yeah.
Or changing or transforming? But I think, you know, Paul in this bit from Romans really just reminds us actually that sin is something that impacts all of us. Hopefully not in the big kind of like murdering sort of levels, but actually on the day-to-day stuff of how we live.
Yeah, and that is going to happen. I think that's the thing. You know, it's not a theory, and none of us is perfect, and we know that we are going to make mistakes, but we've got that reassurance. And that, I think, this period of Lent is definitely a moment when we can reflect on that and really think about those decisions. Okay, so we heard a little bit, I think, from Kate before about listening to God. And the next question is linked to that. So it's just considering, have we ever been in a position where we struggle to hear or understand what Jesus is asking us to do? So perhaps, Adam, if I could start with you, if that's okay.
Yeah, I think the way I think about this question is that there's been times when I've heard what Jesus is saying and thought it made sense, you know, a particular command or something, reconcile with your adversary or something like that, and yet it's not quite in my heart and I'm not quite able to know how to act on that.
Yeah.
And so obviously what's required during that time is a bit of patience and keep asking, how do I go about this? What do I do? And a lot of prayer and a lot of requests for help, really. Mm-hmm. And what I found over time is that some of those kind of key verses or passages in the Bible that at first kind of struck me and made me realize that someone was talking to me, then made a lot more sense.
Yeah.
And you know, there was a clear path to actually putting that into action.
Yeah. So I think that's really wise, actually, that you're sort of saying there are some situations when it's not always obvious, but sometimes when you put it all together, looking back at all those different pieces, you can see what God's been saying to you for
Absolutely.
That period of time. Yeah.
It's
really helpful. Thank you. Kate, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is an ongoing problem for me, really. I hear a lot of what I think Jesus is saying to me, and then I have to spend a lot of time saying, is this what he's saying or what I'm saying, and trying to discern which voice I'm hearing. And I think it's just a question of continuing to, like what you said, Adam, continuing to ask.
Yeah.
And that doesn't come naturally to me, to want to ask for guidance on things and to want to surrender that control over things. So yeah, I think for me, it's been the hardest bit just to stop and really listen. And not just be comfortable with the quiet and the peace and not having an immediate answer to the question, and just seeing what comes of it. So yeah, small nudges here and there in the right direction seems to be the way it works for me. But it's trying to discern my voice and what I want from what God wants and what the right path is quite difficult sometimes. So
yeah. And I think we all have that kind of inner narrative, don't we? Of like what we've got in our own heads. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just trying to make it clear to ourselves, is this me?
Yeah.
Is this my inherent understanding of what I should be doing? Or is this God speaking to me? And that can be quite tricky at times.
Yeah.
I think we're prone as humans to kind of imagine Jesus in a format that agrees with a lot of what we do. It's a surefire thing. Yeah. We've got it not quite right if our picture of Jesus happens to, you know, vote the same way as we do, feel the same way on every world event. It's usually an indication we've not quite got it right.
But That's true. And that's our nature in lots of things, right?
Oh, gosh.
We assume everyone else is the same as us and approaching things from the same perspective.
Indeed.
But they're not. Andrew, what about you?
I was thinking of it and just going to be sort of a slightly different angle of, I think in listening to God, it's God's incredible patience with us, in that sometimes I think God's made things abundantly clear, and yet we're not in a place where we want to hear that. And sometimes we're a bit like Jonah and we run from it. I remember, you know, somebody first suggested ordination to me years and years before I actually seriously explored it. And I remember in a heartbeat, this person, family friends, suggesting it. And I thought, firstly, oh my goodness, I have a horrible feeling they're right. And secondly, but that's not what I wanted. That's not my plan, God. That's not the life I want. And God was very patient and waited a good number of years before I was ready to hear. And yet, I think his persistence throughout and then that and patience of you know, God seemingly biding his time to wait for me to sort myself out, always encourages me of kind of going, even if we hear something and we can't put it into action, or we don't, or we just go, oh, really? No? Or... if God wants you to hear it, like he's patient and kindly persistent, I think.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I also think for me, there've definitely been times whenever I feel like God's been speaking to me, but actually it might not have been the time for me to take action in that moment. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he's speaking to you and it might be for something that's going to come down the line. Yeah. And I definitely had, so I was living in a flat share with friends I really loved. I kind of had a sense of maybe I need to be moving into my own space soon. But it wasn't for probably another 18 months till that actually came to fruition. And then years after that, I understood why, because I ended up moving into a flat underneath a really good friend. We moved in the same week. We hadn't planned this. It just happened that way. And then during lockdown, we were able to bubble together because we were in the same building and so close together. Mm-hmm. And actually, had that not happened, had I not waited, that wouldn't have come to pass. Mm-hmm. So I do think his timing is always right, and we need to be mindful of that as well as what he's saying to us. Lots of things to be aware of. Okay, so just moving on then to focus a little bit more on kind of what we do day to day, in terms of any practices or routines that we each employ as a result of our faith. So it might be things that we do on a daily basis or weekly that help us to connect with Jesus. So it'd be really good to hear about any examples of things that you do or have done in the past. Andrew, maybe I'll come to you first in this one.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't think I have anything radical to offer on it. I think I've learned the hard way that daily prayer is a necessity. And yeah, getting through a day without that is infinitely harder. So it's taken me a while, you know, it took me a good long while, even in my ordained life, to find a rhythm. And because I have youngish kids, like, we've had several quite big changes in what our days and rhythms look like. So actually having to constantly rethink that pattern. And I think actually that's a good thing for folks. Sometimes we can get really into a groove of going, this is how I do this. And then life shift and actually being open and to go, you know, my prayer time, you know, if in an ideal world, my prayer time would start early in the morning before everybody else is up, but I can't outget up my kids. And so I wait until they've gone to school and I've got the space to concentrate. So I think that daily time for me, and actually, and I've become particularly, I think, post-pandemic, as close to post-pandemic as we are, I think actually that being together to worship with other people, because I've always appreciated it, but I think it was that almost season of fasting, not having that, has made me appreciate that time with people worshipping on, whether it's online on a Sunday or in the person on Sunday. Like, I love our little Wednesday midweek communion. I mean, there's, you know, anywhere 12, 13, 14, 15 of us, and there's just such a simple joy in getting together to worship together, hear God's word, receive bread and wine, and then to hang out with each other and drink coffee and eat biscuits. I think those are the keys for me, have been having a regular rhythm, whatever it looks like for you, being open to that rhythm shifting and not being afraid of that. And yeah, and a renewed appreciation of how worshipping with others is a really important part. That it's just not a private faith, but it's something that's lived out in community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think you're absolutely right, because there's a potential to get into a bit of a rut if you're doing the same things all the time. And actually, we need to be aware of when we might be in that position, think about how we can shift things, and also be aware of our context changing around us and changes that might need to come as a result of that. Kate, what about for you? Is there anything that you do on a regular basis?
Well, I'm surprisingly bad at keeping up routines, so I've had to be really strict with myself on a few things. So a couple of things I've done this year. Every morning I just write one thing, just one thing I'm grateful for, in a gratitude journal. And I started doing that with a really good friend of mine, because we've both had some really tough few years. And we sat down and said, well, listen, let's do this for a year. Let's just look for some good in the morning every day and just start with something really positive. So, yeah, that's one of my small things. And then in the evening, I write down my prayers from the day in a prayer journal, which I'm going to do for 5 years consecutively and just see what that looks like. Yeah. And it'll be an amazing thing, you know, in 5 years' time to go, wow, look at all these things that, you know, I needed help on or I was thinking about. And yeah, just those small things, small changes to your day, which don't take very long if you're not great with routines like me, but which make a massive, massive difference.
Yeah. And I think having that record written down of what you've been praying for is so helpful to look back on, because then you can see where prayers have been answered.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to think, oh, well, I'm never going to forget that. It's such a special moment. Inevitably, you know, 12 months later, you can't remember.
Yeah.
So it's good to have that written down. Mm-hmm. Adam, what about you?
You sound a bit different from Kate.
Never.
Person,
never.
Right?
I think I'm what they call high in conscientiousness. which means I set my alarm at 4:15 in the morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Which means I start my day proclaim my unfailing love, which, you know, I have to do every day now. And I think that's a brilliant way to start the day. I listen to the birds when the birds are up at around about that time. They're still asleep at this time of year. And then what I was doing before I became a Christian was I used to get up very early, not quite as early as that, and have my exercise routine. I run 10K every day. And
Stealth boast.
Now I run with Jesus every day. And it's amazing because it's meant that I can maintain my running because it's given a new lease of life to that particular thing, which does get boring at times. You have to have something to occupy yourself. But praying, listening to the Bible, listening to prayer during that time every morning, it's multitasking, which is always good.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, for me, it really does enhance my whole sense of the divine, and you know, it brings me so much closer to God. So I mean, I can't imagine my day without that routine now. I'm not recommending it for everyone. I know that it probably does make some people think that's horrific, but we're all different, aren't we? And different things work for different people. And it really has it gives me the time which I feel like I need to invest in my faith. Mm. Otherwise, you know, it when else can I fit it in during the day?
Yeah.
It has to be at a time that I can set aside where I don't have any other distractions.
Yeah, I think that's really inspiring. And honestly, I'm just so impressed that you're able to commit to that and keep going with it and have that time set aside. I think it's really important. So you're very wise getting up at 4:15. I'm not sure I can do it.
I get a bit sleepy around about this time.
Well, we appreciate you being here. I think for me, it's probably a combination of a lot of what the others have said. So definitely, during the time whenever the Church of England runs a process to try and help people figure out what their calling is, and during that time, we were encouraged to start journaling. And I started then and I've kept that going. And it's been really helpful just to sort of encourage me to reflect back on the day. It's been really, really useful. The other thing I would say is that there's sort of a routine called the Daily Office, and you can pray on a regular basis, either using the Church of England materials, or there are others available. The Northumbria community is a really good example. And using that structure to pray in has been really helpful for me, because it sort of prompts you to think about things that you might not otherwise have prayed about. And that's been really useful. So I definitely encourage people to look into that if you aren't already doing it.
And actually, the joy of having that structure is on the day you don't feel like it.
Yeah.
Those prayers are still, the liturgy contains all the integrity.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter quite where we are. And there's something really sort of dependable. And actually, because sometimes people, we want our day-to-day prayer life or Bible reading or a run to be super exciting. Mm-hmm. But actually, sometimes it just needs to be simple and done. And that's kind of all right. I think sometimes we can set a bar so high that's actually perhaps not realistic.
Mm, yeah.
And actually, there's a real, what's the word? There's a real benefit actually just in that routine discipline of simply coming before God, whether he shows up and shows off or not. But actually, yeah, those liturgies are great. And I find with the communion prayers at church, I've said those hundreds of times, and yet the beauty of being so familiar with it is that it allows God to pull out a phrase or a word that's different each time.
Yeah.
And that's quite an exciting thing to kind of go to look for in the familiar and the structured, to look for the bit you haven't seen before, or just the bit you've seen loads of times, but God wants you to see it in a different way.
Yeah, I think that's true. And there are days when having that skeleton there to pray with is really useful. And it also reminds me, those words have been put together and used for hundreds of years, and you can really see the beauty of the language is incredible. So there's lots to take from that. Spontaneous prayer is also fantastic. Mm. But I am very much appreciating that kind of more structured prayer at the moment. Okay, I think we're going to move on to the final question now, because we've covered, I think, pretty much everything else that we were considering looking at. And this is more about the here and now. So for those of you listening, we're in Lent. And this is a season when Christians often choose to either give something up or take up something new as part of this season. So I just wanted to talk to our guests and see if they've got anything either that they might want to give up or things they want to take up, and why they've chosen those specific things.
So Kate, can I start with you?
Mine's just an obvious one. Obviously giving up sugar or anything like that, any sweets during Lent. It's my Achilles heel, unfortunately. So I figure that's a good time to, you know, sacrifice something that I enjoy so that I can focus my mind a bit more on prayer and worship and just, you know, being a bit more reflective. So an obvious one for me, but the rewards on Easter Sunday will be great.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A giant Easter egg.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Looking forward to that.
And more biscuits for everyone else after services, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Adam, what about you?
Yeah, I will join Kate in our sugar fast together. But I last year as well, I did a one day fast every week as well. I'd eat my evening meal, but not eat during the day. Mm-hmm. And I felt that was really helpful as well. You know, it meant that I was looking upon the day differently. It meant that I kept asking myself why I'm hungry and reminding myself of the sacrifice I was making and why I was making it. And it wasn't easy at times because when you're at work and you've done your 10K run and you've not eaten. I still have a drink at least, but I mean, but I do think that you know, a fast is actually a really helpful way of just being much more focused.
Yeah, I would completely agree with all of that. So on Tuesday evenings, I go to college. So I do try and fast on a Tuesday in advance to try to encourage myself to be focused on what I'm studying. So we eat when we go to college and then we go into our studies. And I do find that helpful just in terms of setting that routine for the day and trying to focus my mind on what am I going to learn about God this evening? So I agree. I think fasting can be really helpful. Obviously, it depends from person to person whether or not that's going to work. Mm. But I think it's something that people could consider. So it's great. Mm. Andrew, what about you?
Do you know, I think it's perhaps worth acknowledging that one of the things I find hardest is that there are so many different things you could do. And I always get a little bit overwhelmed with the choice. And one of the good bits of advice someone gave me many years ago now was to try and choose a discipline that's going to help you in a particular area of life that God wants you to work on. So whatever that is, kind of try and match up the discipline so it kind of feeds into it. So actually, the fasting is a really, whether that's food or whether that's, you know, if you find yourself staring at your phone all the time to give up social media or whatever it is. So I always try and choose something targeted, and I've tried lots of things across the years. And actually, this Lent, I've kind of really felt God speak to me on needing to resource myself so that I kind of have the energy for the long haul. We've had an incredible, like, post-pandemic recovery church. Like, we've seen all sorts of growth. We've seen God doing incredible stuff, but it's been a lot of work. Has been quite tiring. And so actually I find as I come into Lent, my discipline is going to be to actually kind of make sure I'm looking after myself really well through Lent. So I'm going to, persuaded, but I'm going to actually take a proper lunch break of a whole hour each and every day. And to try and use that time to do some of the things that I really enjoy doing. So I love reading. I've picked up a daily devotional book, and it's got a little calendar as well that has some prayer ideas. So I'm going to refresh and restore myself in Lent by making sure I'm kind of making some downtime in every single day. And then also trying to fill some of that time with stuff I love doing. Stuff that's, it's easy to get squeezed out because there's a million and one things on the to-do list. So I don't know if that's a non-conventional one, but I think you can look at spiritual disciplines in lots of different ways. And again, that's, I'm just going, what's the area of my life I know God wants me to work on? And what can I try and do that puts me in that zone where he can do the work?
It sort of links back to Adam's point earlier about Sabbath. So just having that time whenever you're stopping and actually being a bit more considered about what you're doing in that space. And I think that's a really healthy discipline and routine, because my guess is, Andrew, your job could expand to 24 hours a day, 9 days a week, if you had them. So actually, that's a really important decision to take and to be clear about what the boundaries are around that.
And I think actually with the rise in, you know, there'll be a lot of people listening to this who work from home.
Mm.
And for me, the biggest shock of going into ordained life was not having any structure other than what I put into it. And I think if you're working from home, it can be very similar, especially if you can set your own start and finish point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really easy without the external structures of a, whether that's an office routine or like you guys have got the school routine and the school, not just the daily routine, but the termly routine in it as well. And finding those rhythms and routines.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, you know, if you're, you know, like me, you've work at home, and I've been doing that for 11 years, it's even more important to put in those rhythms and those disciplines because you've not got some of the external stuff. So yeah, if you're listening to this and working from home, I just really encourage you to find that little bit of structure that's going to resource you in that.
Yeah, that's a really helpful point. I think for me, it's kind of connected to that. So I'm very conscious that my laptop is attached to me almost 24 hours a day. So I'm going to take one evening each week during Lent to not be on my laptop, which is going to be a challenge for me. And the other thing that I'm going to do is not watch any TV. I don't watch a huge amount, but I just feel like it's creeping up and actually it's not great use of time. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just not watch anything through the whole of Lent. So don't give me any spoilers. There are really amazing box sets going around. I don't want to know. But I think it will give me a bit of extra time back to do other more useful things.
Yeah.
So we have reached the end of our questions and our discussion on this. So thank you so much to everyone for participating in this session. We're now going to move on to the next section of our podcast. So stay tuned and we'll move into a period of reflection. Reflecting on our Bible reading from Romans, what is your response to the gift that Jesus has so freely given us? Paul's letter to the Romans emphasises that we have all sinned, and Lent particularly is a time for us to pause and reflect on our sin, the times when we've made choices that don't align with God's heart. We have all sinned, there are no exceptions. Likewise, Jesus has made a way to save each one of us, again, with no exceptions. His grace is a gift freely given to all. There is nothing that we can do in our own strength to overcome our sin, but Jesus has done this for us. The social activist Catherine Doherty said, "Lent is a time of going very deeply into ourselves. What is it that stands between us and God? Between us and our brothers and sisters, between us and life, the life of the Spirit. Whatever it is, let us relentlessly tear it out without a moment's hesitation." Lent is a time to ready ourselves, to prepare our hearts for all the good things that God has for us in the future. So let's take this season as an opportunity to focus on our own relationship with God, to grow in our discipleship and renew our faith. The way that we each do this will be different. For some, it may include fasting, for some prayer, for some meditating on scripture, for some taking a different approach to Sabbath, and a host of other practices, all to different degrees. Irrespective of how we go about this, if we enter into our Lenten practice with the intention of drawing closer to God, He will be ready and waiting to draw closer to us. Now we turn to a time of prayer. This is a prayer for the keeping of a holy Lent by Frank Colquhoun. Lord,
Bless me this Lent. Lord, let me fast most truly and profitably by feeding in prayer on your Spirit. Reveal me to myself in the light of your holiness. Suffer me never to think that I have knowledge enough to need no teaching, wisdom enough to need no correction, talents enough to need no grace, goodness enough to need no progress, humility enough to need no repentance, devotion enough to need no quickening, strength sufficient without your Spirit, lest, standing still, I fall back forevermore. Show me the desires that I should be disciplined in, and sloths to be slain. Show me the omissions to be made up, and habits to be mended. And behind these, weaken, humble, and annihilate in me self-will, self-righteousness, self-satisfaction, self-sufficiency, self-assertion, vainglory. May my whole effort be to return to you. O, make it serious and sincere, persevering and fruitful in result, by the help of your Holy Spirit, and to your glory, my Lord and my God. I hope that this podcast episode has given you time and space to reflect on all that Jesus has done for us and to consider how you might respond to that in this season of Lent. Please do continue to dwell on what you've heard and seek God's way forward as you journey through Lent with him. 3 further podcast episodes will be shared in coming weeks, so if you found this session helpful, I would encourage you to listen to the others and also to connect with our services and wider activities at St. Mary's. Thanks so much for listening.